Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Actor Brian Anthony Wilson is probably best known for his role as the cynical but ultimately honest detective Vernon Holley on the celebrated HBO drama The Wire, which spent 5 seasons examining drugs, poverty, race, and politics in inner-city Baltimore. Wilson's Holley was sometimes bitter, but like many of his colleagues in the precinct, he didn't always have an answer for the endemic violence and depravity in the streets, or the high-stakes office politics.
89? That's just the ones with West Side addresses.
Man, you got to narrow that shit down. Find somewhere to work with all them peanuts.
Do I look like George Washington Carver?
5 years after The Wire concluded its run, Wilson's latest gig, in the Dorset Theater Festival's production of Matthew Lopez's The Whipping Man, explores racial identity and politics as well. But instead of the gritty city streets of the present day, Wilson is transported back to post-Civil War Richmond, where he portrays a now-free slave guarding an abandoned homestead. The play explores war, wounds, addiction, and cultural identity, since the former slaves on stage and their ex-owner are Jewish. Brian Anthony Wilson has had a long career on stage and screen, appearing in films and TV shows like Rounders, Law & Order SVU, Silver Linings Playbook, and Limitless, to name a few. He'll appear in the Dorset Theater Festival's production of The Whipping Man through July 20th, and it's my pleasure to welcome him to the Roundtable. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Ian.
So this play has really caught on nationally in the past few years. How did you become attached to this production of it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but, I think someone else was actually cast, and then maybe something happened, and then they reached out to, I think, my New York agent, or maybe he saw something. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I think things happen for a reason, and for whatever reason, I'm glad to be here. I saw the show probably a couple years back at the Art and Theater in Philadelphia, which is a theater I'm associated with a lot. I've done 8 shows there. And I wasn't in The Whipping Man, but my mentor, Johnny Hobbs Jr., was, and he was really good in it, and that was my first exposure to it. And after seeing it, I was certainly moved, and also, when I see something, I see a lot of theater, I see a lot of film, and maybe it's ego or whatever, but I see something, it was like, wow, could I do that? And I was, I was actually scared of the role when my agent told me about it. But then one of my teachers, years ago said, those are the roles you should do. If it frightens you, if you think it's going to really challenge you, then that's what you're supposed to be doing. So I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but I am here and I'm just glad to be here.
Well, summer theater is already such a compressed schedule. You're there rehearsing around the clock and then you do the show for a week.
Yes.
With you coming to the role rather late in the game, does that even put more pressure on the preparation?
Well, it kind of does, because I was, it's weird, this year has been, I don't know, I've never worked this much in my life. I started with a show called Assassin in December, and that closed a Sunday, and the Tuesday afterwards I started rehearsal for Pinocchio at the Arden, which I was in until the 23rd of June, and then I had to drive up to Vermont on the 24th to start rehearsals for this play. So yeah, I was doing that. I had a couple of auditions and to prepare for, and some family crises, and I was also shooting a film. So I was not as prepared as I would have liked to have been for this rehearsal process. Although, coming up in theater, black actor, the theaters that I work with, usually didn't have a whole lot of money. So that's the kind of theater schedule we had. You had a week or two of rehearsals, and then bam, you're in front of an audience. But I've been spoiled since then. I haven't had a schedule this tight, for a while, for a number of years. But it's a great learning thing. It's a great tool. I mean, it can be done. I mean, it's not the ideal circumstance, but our director is very wonderful, Dina, and we have a great cast. And luckily they have, a lot of professional people, who are, able to accommodate the two-week, turnaround, which is a lot.
Well, as you say, that's a good problem for an actor to have, to be so busy.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other part is I had to go home, on Friday to finish filming this little independent film that I was doing called Assumption of Risk, and which took away from our rehearsal process, unfortunately. But it was the only time they could get the thing, and I was already scheduled for it before I got this. So that took away a day of what we would normally have, because because I had to, you know, we rehearsed on the 4th of July till 6, and then I drove home, had to shoot in the morning on the 5th, and then drive back up for a rehearsal on Saturday. So it made an even hectic schedule, even more hectic. But Dina was very accommodating, and so were my castmates. And, you know, we got some really good work done, I think, this weekend. And so it's a very quick schedule, but it's a great challenge and a great learning experience for an actor. And I know I'm growing from the experience and also from the role. So, you know, even though it's a challenge, but it's a great challenge.
Now, your former co-star, Clark Peters of The Wire, he played Lester Freeman, for people who might be familiar with the show.
Yes.
He did this show in our region at Barrington Stage a couple summers back. Did you compare notes at all with him?
I haven't. You know what? That's funny you say that because, you know, I'm just thinking about this. This is weird. When that production first came about, somebody had reached out to me and said, oh, there's this role that you would be great for. And it was Simon. I'm just remembering this now. Because when I saw that Clark was doing it, I just sent him a postcard telling him to break legs and stuff. Because I'm not that I'm in contact with him. I haven't seen or talked to him in years. I mean, I'm kind of in contact maybe once or twice a year with Wendell Pierce, who played Bunk, who I had a lot of scenes with, because I have his email. But I don't have Clark's information. But anyway, I saw that he was doing it, and I just sent him a congratulatory note to Barrington. That's funny you mentioned that. But no, I never compared notes with him. And strangely enough, because in the book we have, they show people who did the role before. So Andre Brower did it. And also Frankie Faison, who I worked with in The Wire, has played Simon before. And he is in the movie that I just went home to finish, Assumption of Risk. I didn't have any scenes with him, but he was just shooting a couple of weeks ago. And then here I see Frankie's name in the book, you know, in The Whipping Man as one of the, I think he was one of the first, or he might have been the first actor to originate the role at the Luna Theater Company in Jersey. Mm-hmm. So it's odd. It's a lot of Wire actors that have been doing this role. But no, I have not had a chance to speak with Clark. I would love to pick his brain about it.
And I have to imagine that the Wire family is already sort of tightly bound just because of the success of the show. A lot of you had your names made by that program. You were actors who weren't necessarily known to a huge audience before then. But you brought up the fact earlier that there's not a ton of roles for black actors out there. So I have to imagine even within that Wire subset, it's an even smaller family.
Well, I think so. And I thank you for mentioning me with those guys. But I was just a local hire guy. I came in, I read for like three roles at first, and then I was lucky to get Holly. And I thought it was just a one and done. And I ended up, you know, being in five seasons of it, all five seasons by the grace of God. I mean, and the weird thing is I would have been in probably, I was in 19 episodes. I probably would have been in about 30 or more, but because of the way TV series shoot, they only give you a couple weeks' notice, and a lot of times I was committed to theater projects, and they would just write me off. They would call me and say, hey, are you available? If not, they write you out, and they give you lines to somebody else to figure out something else. But, yeah, because of my theater schedule, I was knocked out of over half of the episodes, I would think. But, yeah, I've been very lucky to work as much as I do, and I'm very fortunate. I'm usually working on two or three projects at once. Because, I mean, I seek those out, and a lot of times work begets work. But it is tough, you know, for black actors, especially of a certain age. You know, I'm past middle age, and I'm not a leading man type. You know, I'm a
past middle age, you're only 53.
Well, I doubt that I'll be living to 106, but thank you. But yeah, I'm way past middle age. But, you know, and I'm, you know, certainly not a leading man type. Like I say, I'm the big linebacker kind of build type. But I've, you know, luckily, knock on wood, have been working, you know, as a living since 96 when I did my first film, The Postman, with Kevin Costner. So I've been, you know, lucky. But it's temp work. You know, you're always looking for that next gig and always looking for that next job, which is a little scary.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I read that you started taking theater classes in the early 80s, and it took a long while, maybe 15 years, to get onto the screen for the first time. Did you see your career always being in the theater, or, you know, was the screen the ultimate goal?
That's a great question. You know what? I never even imagined it. Yeah, I started, it's weird, this year, in July actually, marks 30 years ago that I took my first acting class at Freedom Theater in Philadelphia. No, I didn't. I mean, I love movies. I've probably seen, since I've been up here, even with rehearsal, 4 or 5 movies. I mean, I usually see 2 movies a week at least, maybe 3, you know, including foreign films when I'm in Philly. But I always loved the medium, and I didn't imagine it. I mean, I certainly dreamed about it probably, but it wasn't, not from a kid like you hear other people talk about, you know, wanting to be the movies. And certainly, I guess, as a black actor, you don't see somebody like me to, you know, a big, you know, burly, light-skinned, bald guy. You don't see a whole lot of me on screen. So, yeah, this was, like one of my, maybe in the deep recesses of my mind, I dreamed about it. But, no, I never imagined myself being in a film. And now, you know, later I have, like, over 95 film credits on IMDb, film and TV. I never would have imagined it, no, when I started out, no.
I don't know, you haven't sung on screen yet, have you?
Have I sung on screen?
Because you can sing.
Yeah, well, thank you. I love to sing. That's how I started out, actually. I was taking singing lessons at Freedom Theater and then caught the acting bug while I was there and changed my focus to acting after my first semester there. But I'm trying to, a couple of short films I have, or my character was singing. This is just like really very lightly, nothing full. That's funny, there was a movie called Duets that came out that I auditioned for with Gwyneth Paltrow, I believe. I think her father, Bruce Paltrow, might be one of the last films he directed. I was really right for it, but, you know, they went with a name person who I think didn't even really sing, but they lip-synced his, part. But anyway, but not nothing big, no.
Let's talk a little bit more about this production.
Sure.
The character Simon is very complicated. You know, he's got a family. There's some more information that comes out during the course of the show about who he is. But how do you see him?
I see him as certainly a gentle, loving, you know, family man, and a man who's just struggling with this idea of being free. You know, what that means. You know, Calvin, who plays John in the play, was talking about this. You know, it's a documentary called Unchained Melodies, I think, about, you know, the slave stories of slaves and how, you know, they were in the field one day and they heard a whistle, and then they called them in and said, "You're free." And they're like, "Okay, what do we do now?" So it's kind of like this. I mean, he's complex, and it's just this whole notion of, you know, being a black Jew. I'm still grasping that, and, you know, getting the some of the Jewish terms, you know, Baruch Atah Adonai, and trying to get those right. But
yeah, you should have been in my bar mitzvah class with me.
Oh, I see. I could have get some information from you. I mean, I was telling Dina, the only reason I knew that phrase, because I'm a big Howard Stern fan, so he plays that sometime, him and Gilbert Gottfried. And that's the thing about this 2-week thing too. It's kind of a crash course in character building too, but I'm still discovering. I mean, any actor will tell you, I think, that, you know, throughout the course of the run, that's part of the fun of it. You get to discover and deepen this character every night, but some revelations don't come until the show is over sometimes. But, I'm still discovering him, and I mean, I love Simon. I think he's a noble man, and he has great character and great love for his wife and daughter, which is easy for me to template that because I have a wife and I have a 5-year-old daughter who I'm away from and I miss very much. There's a lot of similarities between Simon and me, and I'm still discovering about him, but I really love the chance and the opportunity to play this character, and Dina's direction has been spot on.
Brian Anthony Wilson appears in the Dorset Theater Festival's production of The Whipping Man now through July 20th. There's more information at dorsettheaterfestival.org. Brian, so much good luck to you. I hope you break a leg. If you need any help with the Hebrew, just give me a shout. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
But thank you for your offer, too, and I just may take you up on it.
So we'll say shalom to end, I think.
Yes, shalom. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.